From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Wednesday, November 15th, 2023. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunafchish, Hawa Salama, for joining the conversation. On today's show, the Juno World Affairs Council is hosting Ambassador Dan Smith tonight in Juno with a talk on American diplomacy. NAMI Juno is here to share about their virtual silent auction and upcoming events. Juno Gastineau Rotary shares about its upcoming live auction this Friday, supporting all their local programming, including education efforts. And UAS's Tidal Echoes Creative Journal is now accepting applications for its annual edition. We'll find out more. Those conversations, music, and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Later today, in just about 2 hours or so, downstairs at KTOO, the Juno World Affairs Council will host Ambassador Dan Smith. The topic, Blueprints for a More Modern U.S. Diplomatic Service. Dan recently retired from the Foreign Service with the highest rank of career ambassador. He served as the State Department's transition director for the 2020 presidential transition and subsequently as acting secretary and acting deputy secretary of state in the early months of the Biden administration. He served prior to that as director of the Foreign Service Institute, the premier foreign affairs training academy for the U.S. government. So it is now a pleasure to welcome to this studio Ambassador Dan Smith, as well as JWAC board member Carl Broderson to KTOO. Gunafchish, Atye Hadi, to you both for being here. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Yes, thank you. It's such an honor. Sorry about the technical difficulties there.
Builds tension in a good way.
You adapted well.
Live radio. We always love it. So it's such a pleasure to welcome you. Is this your first time to Alaska?
It is. And this was a unique opportunity, which I seized immediately when I was given the opportunity to come here and speak to the Juno World Affairs Council. I'm delighted to be here.
So great. And Carl, you are helping today and picking up and doing all of the things and traveling around. And it's great. How do you decide on bringing somebody in like Ambassador Dan Smith?
An extremely complex process that often involves just dumb luck and occasionally an email out of the blue from a sponsoring organization that is interested in having diplomats come and talk to the American public.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And that's so good. Okay, so let's get into this. You have an impressive record, and that is really it's such an honor to speak with you here today. So Blueprints for a More Modern U.S. Diplomatic Service. That's the topic for tonight. And
yes,
we don't want to go into all the details because everybody needs to come downstairs to KTOO and sort of hear this talk that you're going to be giving. But give us sort of like, what will we be hearing about tonight?
Well, essentially, Boston, this is talking about reform of the Department of State, and in particular about the Foreign Service of the Department of State, which is the element of the State Department that represents us overseas. These are the consular officers, the political officers, the economic officers who staff our missions around the world. They're the people you would encounter if you were ever in trouble overseas. It would generally be a consular officer if you lost your passport, you had a medical emergency, or anything else, God forbid, that should happen while you're traveling abroad, are consular officers. And this is about how do we empower them? How do we train them? How do we deploy them in the most effective way possible to advance our nation's foreign policy? It's too often neglected, I think, when people think about the State Department or foreign policy of the United States, that this is really the leading edge of our national security. We look at defense. We look at, in fact, the intelligence community often before we think about our diplomats who are out there every day trying to address a host of challenges that we face in the world and that we face here at home, whether it's promoting American business, whether it is addressing the issue of climate change or nonproliferation or counter-narcotics. These are Foreign Service officers deployed abroad. And what we are trying to do is ensure that they are as the best trained, the best equipped, and the best prepared diplomatic service in the world.
Wow. Okay. And so in the title, you mentioned something about a more modern. So is there something that is, what's the update that's needed? What do we need to do to get this to a better spot?
So there are a number of things that we focus on. We really focus on four different areas. One is the mission and mandate of the Department of State or of the Foreign Service. And that includes everything like how do we appoint ambassadors? Who are our ambassadors abroad? I think it's not well known, but a third of our ambassadors are non-career. They're political appointees, some of whom are outstanding representatives of the United States, but some of whom traditionally have not necessarily been the best qualified people to be leading our missions abroad. So we want to ensure that we have missions that are led by the most appropriate people, the best trained people, the people who are best equipped to lead those missions, but that they also are, in that sense, charged with orchestrating the whole of government effort of the United States abroad. It isn't just the State Department that represents us abroad. There are a number of other agencies and institutions and departments who have representatives abroad. But our ambassadors are in charge of that mission and in charge of that relationship, or in a case of a multilateral organization, our engagement with that institution and leading that whole of government effort. We also want to ensure that they're the best trained, that they have the training, the language, whether it's language, whether it's leadership skills and other things that they need to represent us as effectively as possible. We need a flexible personnel system because we got to make sure we have the right people in the right place at the right time. And finally, what we've called for in this blueprint is something unique for the State Department, but is modeled on what the military has, which is a diplomatic reserve. We want to be able to have a surge capacity, if you will. So in an emergency, in a crisis situation, in Afghanistan, for instance, we just went through, or Ukraine, whatever it might be, we have people who are, again, equipped and trained to be deployed in those circumstances where they can do the jobs that we need them to do.
Right. Okay. Wow, that's fascinating. That would definitely. And how does this effort, how will this happen, I guess, is how do we make this happen?
Well, like anything, it takes money. It takes investment. And one of the things we're trying to do is explain this to the American people, what it is we need and why it's important for them, why foreign policy matters, why the Department of State matters to them, but also convince Congress that it's important to invest in these things, to put the money into training and professional development that is needed to ensure that we have, as I say, the best diplomatic service we possibly can.
Gotcha. I think for like a layperson like myself who doesn't understand all of the different various positions in the government, you know, you think of ambassadors, we see them in movies, right? Right. We see positions of, you know, oh, this is ambassador so-and-so. And sometimes it seems like it's a figurehead position or maybe something that is not necessarily earned per se.
Right.
But the value of this position is what you're really speaking to, that these are really important positions and we need to be thinking about them in that way a little bit more than maybe we have in the past.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And in fact, one of the things that's been very frustrating to those of us who have been in the career service and spent our lives in this are the number of posts we have abroad, missions abroad, where there is no confirmed ambassador in place. This is a process and a product of some of the political dynamics in Washington right now, which has made it difficult because all of these are nominated by the president and confirmed by the Senate. But many have been pending Senate confirmation. In fact, I have a friend who has been pending Senate confirmation for an important position to head Counterterrorism Bureau for 700 days right now.
Wow.
And you think perhaps, okay, there are career people who are doing these jobs in the meantime, but it means something to have an ambassador, especially abroad. There are a lot of governments who won't deal with anybody who's not at that level, who's not fully accredited and empowered by the United States to represent our interests. So it means we're sort of fighting, if you will, with one arm behind our back in that circumstance.
I gotcha. And how does one become an ambassador? Is that, how does that become a career choice for somebody?
So, as I say, there are as many as a third of our ambassadors who are non-career. They're people who've done other things in life. They've been in and out of government, perhaps, or run businesses or other things. But for a career person, the normal track is to come through the State Department Foreign Service, although there are other ways to do it as well, and to spend your career, as I did, 38 years in the Foreign Service, learning the tradecraft, learning the skills and knowledge that I would need to lead a mission abroad. So it's something that is a combination of education, but also a lot of experience in how do you conduct diplomacy? How do you advance American interests in all sorts of contexts around the world, in very different difficult environments and in more friendly countries at times?
Wow. Carl, give us the details. We're talking with Ambassador Dan Smith, who has a talk tonight, but give us the details, the time, the place, and how we can find out more for sure before we get into our final questions here.
Yeah, the talk is tonight, Wednesday, November 15th. It's at 5:15 downstairs at the KTO TV studio, our usual location. And I would like to add that this presentation is made possible with the support from the American Academy of Diplomacy and their partners, Arizona State University and the Una Chapman Cox Foundation.
Gotcha. Okay.
Thank you for that moment.
Of course. Yeah. We want to make sure that we get people there. And if you can't make it to the talk tonight, they are archived, right?
They are. They're available on YouTube, probably within a couple of days. It's a very quick turnaround because Take K2 is awesome. Thank you very much. And this will also eventually be broadcast on Alaska Public Media.
Oh, excellent. Okay. That's great. Because that it's important to get this word out. I think it's interesting because I think we're in a spot where foreign relations become even more important. We're going into an election next year. Right. And of course, I think that's going to be a big talking point in terms of the election and how that works. And it's interesting because it is a political process in some ways because, like you said, it's nominated by the president, confirmed by the Senate. And of course, that can get wrapped up into politics and who's nominating, who's confirming, who's in which party's in charge of which office at that time. But the work that ambassadors do seems vital and with the connection around the world. And so is there something that we can do as a listener to help this process, to educate ourselves? Where could we learn more about this?
Well, these blueprints are available online through the American Academy of Diplomacy and other ways that you can read more about the blueprints themselves and what we're trying to accomplish. But I think being in touch with your senators, with your members of the House of Representatives to encourage support for our diplomacy and the work of our diplomats. We view ourselves as professionals. We are nonpartisan in that regard. We are there. I have served under both Republican and Democratic administrations. My goal is to advance the national interests of the United States and the interests of the American people. It's a great privilege to represent the American people abroad. But we view ourselves as every bit as important to our national security as our military colleagues with whom we serve side by side in many instances. And I think we need to do a better job, we as a diplomatic service, but also as the State Department, in telling our story, why it should matter to the average American.
Yeah. What are some of the, I guess, difficulties of being an ambassador? What do you run into that maybe is some roadblocks?
Well,
I guess it depends on where you're serving.
Yeah, too. No, exactly. It depends on the relationship and the mission you're heading. But a lot of it is there are either expectations and in some cases, a feeling that the United States is responsible for everything that has gone wrong in the world or can correct every problem in the world, which we obviously can't. We need partners. We need allies. And one of the jobs of us as diplomats is to build those partnerships, to build those alliances. There are so many problems which are called now issues without passport or problems without passports. These transcend boundaries. They transcend nations. And unless we can, as a world community, come together and address some of these things, we're never going to succeed. Climate change comes to mind, obviously, is one of those key ones. But there are many others where these are not problems that are unique to one country or that one country alone can solve.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the president is speaking shortly, actually, in a national address about relations, hosting, you know, a very important figure from across the pond, as
exactly,
it were.
Exactly.
And that's part of it, too, is we see those kinds of meetings. But there's all kinds of stuff that goes on behind the scenes or maybe meetings that aren't necessarily public that the ambassadors are a part of, right? They sort of make these transitions and sort of meetings possible in a lot of ways.
Absolutely. A summit meeting is an important event when two leaders come together, but there is enormous amount of groundwork that has to be laid for any successful summit. There is work that goes on a daily basis, whether it's relationship with China or relationship with any country, for that matter, where these are day-to-day things that may not be visible in most instances. They don't rise to the level of a summit, but they're critical to advancing our interest and to building the sort of alliances, as I say, and partnerships that we're going to need.
Wow. It's amazing. It's really interesting. I could spend the entire hour and probably more talking with Ambassador Dan Smith. You need to show up tonight at KTO downstairs for the Juneau World Affairs Council talk. It's Blueprints for a More Modern U.S. Diplomatic Service with Ambassador Dan Smith. And Carl, I also wanted to mention that you have another event next week, the Travel Log, and that's on next Tuesday, right?
Yes, the 21st. Juneau's own Rory Darling is going to talk about a truly epic bike trip through Thailand. That's at the Gold Town Theater.
And that's at the Gold Town. And of course, we also want to mention that all of these talks and events are free of charge.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Welcome to all.
Welcome to all. Absolutely. Well, Ambassador Dan Smith, thank you so much. Carl,
thank you
from the Juneau World Affairs Council, thank you both for coming in. Gunath Cheesh, and break a leg tonight on your chat.
Thanks very much.
Okay, up next, NAMI Juneau shares about their virtual auction happening this week. This is Juneau Afternoon from KTOO. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akwan. The Glenadie have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot, once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages, and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life. For today, and for future generations. This is Juneau Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. NAMI Juneau provides education, advocacy, public awareness, and more in support of individuals affected by mental illness. And right now, they are in the middle of an important fundraising event to help them do this work. Here to tell us about it are Aaron Surma, Executive Director, and Debbie Fagnant, Board President. Gunath Cheesh, Hat Yeh Adi, for you both being here today. Hi.
Hi. Hello.
It's a pleasure to have you here. So we are in the middle, all right? It started on the 11th.
Yep.
Okay. So tell us about what's going on.
We're trying to raise some money. Seems like it's going pretty well so far, which is great. We have 150 items in our online auction, from food to experiences to jewelry, all kinds of good stuff. The standard fare that you expect in an auction in Juneau, and we're hopeful that people will keep bidding. We're trying to raise at least $13,000. We're at $11,000 so far and have a couple more days to go, so feeling very optimistic.
Wow. You're like 80% of the way there?
Yes.
Is that right, Debbie?
Yes.
Look at
wow.
Boston go.
That is like, yeah, I didn't do the math. I mean, I don't know if that's the exact math.
It's pretty good.
But it's what an amazing thing. Like the support of Juneau never ceases to amaze me, you know?
Same here. Juneau is very support, a wonderful community.
And so tell us a little bit about the items that are available for auction. That's always a fun thing.
Absolutely it is. So for food, we've got a lot of different desserts. There's the North Douglas chocolate cake is always popular. We have a Catherine Cornelius made cheesecake with caramel sauce. And people know her work. It's fantastic. Got some loaves of bread, sweet stuff, all kinds of sweet stuff. Pasta making. So you make the pasta in your house and then eat it.
Oh.
Also have some other experiences. So guided mushroom picking with Claire Baldwin, who is a pro. I won that one a couple years ago and set me on a nice little mushroom picking course in my life. So
it changed the course of your life.
Absolutely. I'm going to take folks on a hike up to Naked Man Lake by the peak of Mount Troy. I'll lug all the snacks and supplies for that. So that's another experience. Seaplanes round trip to Haines. So, you know, ice field tours, all that kind of stuff. And then jewelry. We have some earrings made by Lily Hope. We have some hand-tied fish fly earrings, all kinds of different artists.
I don't think you can have an auction in Juneau without earrings.
I know.
And specifically earrings from Lily Hope.
Yeah. I think folks would feel a little bit lost if that wasn't a part of it.
Because those are great. I mean, it's just great because the earring game in this town is on point. And that's so great. And it's fantastic that you've raised so much money so far. I love that. And Debbie, I know I mentioned it in the intro. And I know Aaron could speak to this too, but I figured I would ask you, like, as the board president, the mission of NAMI Juneau is so important. Can you tell us a little bit? I know we're going to talk specifically about some of the support group efforts, but some of the things that NAMI Juneau is about and what they do and the people that they help.
Yeah. Oh, you know, we believe that mental illness and mental health challenges are really serious. They can be traumatic events for people, both for the people experiencing them and for the families who care for them and love them. And so we are an organization that is committed to supporting them, to supporting both the individual and the families. So we do this through education. So we have classes that teach people about mental illness. We have support groups that meet and where people can find peers who have kind of walked the same journey and can understand more deeply what that's like. We do, we work with the legislature when bills come up, especially that impact mental health services in Alaska. And we try to educate our legislators and the legislators across the state about what the research says is good for people who are living with mental health challenges. So
that's a lot.
It is a lot. And that's really the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really great because I think like at the core, it's really, I think it's important for people, all people, those who are supporting those with mental health issues and those who have mental health issues, that you're not alone, right?
Absolutely.
And there is support out there for you. There's somebody to talk to.
Absolutely.
And because I think that's a thing that I think a lot of people say, that, you know, they feel alone. I mean, I'm not a mental health, I'm not a professional doctor or anything, but that's what I hear is people are like, I feel alone. I feel like nobody understands. And so you want to be able to reach out to somebody who might be able to help you.
Absolutely. We are stigma busters. We say that we reject guilt, that mental health is not anyone's fault. It is a wiring of the brain. It is a biological condition. It might have environmental factors, but it's not anyone's fault.
Yeah.
And for so long, it's been hidden. You know, people, the last thing they want to do is to let anybody know that there's any, that their brains function differently and that they see the world a little bit in a unique way.
And I think we're all coming to an awareness of this
right.
A little bit more now that we all kind of understand that how important mental health is.
Yep.
And, you know, just as well as your physical and, you know, all the other ways that you need to be healthy, and that mental is not something that needs to be stigmatized.
Absolutely. You know?
And,
right.
And that's the great thing about NAMI Juneau and the support that you do. And I want to make sure we shout out the auction and the website, because if you are interested in finding more about NAMI Juneau, you can go to namijuneau.org. And specifically for the auction, you can go to namijuneau/auction, and that will get you all the information. But if you're looking for services and you want to find out more about those, you can just go to the main website at namijuneau.org. And the auction runs until when?
Saturday at 6 p.m.
Okay. And do I have to keep checking back to make sure my bids are accepted, or do I get a ping? How does that work?
You'll get pinged.
You get pinged. So if somebody bumps me up by a dollar, I'll know that.
And there's going to be a lot of action from 5 to 6 p.m. on Saturday.
That last minute, because right. I know people try
so
to
funny.
Yeah, say see how it goes. And but it sounds like you have 150 items up for auction.
Yeah.
And that is amazing. And by saying that you've raised 10,000 or 11,000 so far, is that because based on the bids that you have mm-hmm. so far?
Yeah.
I see. So if you know that your friend bid on something, go bid a little bit higher. Because you know they really want that thing and they're going to be mad at you. But we need to raise just a little bit money for Nami Juno. That's so great. Okay. So one of the things that is really important that you do talk about is the family support group, Debbie. So tell us a little bit about what that is and how people can get involved and the purpose of that.
You bet. You know, I'd like to start it with a quick story about myself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 1 in 5 people deal with a mental health condition, and my family is no different. So I'm going to take my sister, for example. You know, we grew up sharing the same bedroom. She was the maid of honor at my wedding. I totally loved her. And she lived with depression, major depression, all of her adult life. In the end, she died by suicide. I would have done anything to spare her that suffering, really. And I really tried hard. At one point, I knew that I needed help if I was going to be a genuine support for her, that the depression was there to stay. It wasn't going away. And it was sad and confusing, and it was frustrating. But that's where NAMI's support group, the family support group, came into my life, because it's for people who have a loved one who is facing a mental health challenge. So like you said earlier, at every support group meeting, there were people who got my story that they know that sometimes I just need to share what's going on and not be judged. And at other times, I come with a dilemma and I need the wisdom of the room from other people's life experience. And so people in that meeting, they get it. They understand that we can't solve all problems and that we pledge to forgive ourselves and to reject guilt. So seriously, every time I leave a meeting, I feel lighter. I walk a little straighter and I gain strength in telling my story and really in knowing that I'm not alone. So I am a complete believer in the support group. You asked about some specific things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Juno's family support group welcomes anyone who has a loved one with a mental health issue, and they're welcome to come. Yeah.
That's great. And these happen, when do they happen?
Well, they're the first and third Thursday of every month from 6 to 7:30.
Great. Okay. And the calendar for that is on namijuno.org. You can find out when the next.
Exactly.
Because you keep track of it. But basically the first and third Thursdays of the month. And those happen where?
They happen at our Teal Street Center.
The lovely Teal Street Center.
New gray building right behind the Nugget Mall, right next to the Glory Hall. They are free. The meetings are free. You can just drop in. They're absolutely confidential, which is important in a small town like Juneau.
That's great. And for more information, you can call 463-4251.
You got it.
You can send a message through the website. You can also email at namijuno@gmail.com.
That's right.
That's so wonderful. And that's just one of the programs
exactly.
that you have. And that's what this auction supports. And I really want to thank you both for coming in today and telling us about it. So for more information, you can go to namijuno.org/family support group about the support groups that Debbie was just talking about. And for the auction, which you have until Saturday at 6 p.m. in that 5 to 6 o'clock hour, you better earmark it, grab a cup of coffee, because you're going to be pushing that button a lot to get your bids in. And that's namijuno.org/auction. Aaron and Debbie, thank you so much. Gunas Cheese for coming in today and telling us all about it.
Gunas Cheese.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's so good. Up next, the Juno Gastineau Rotary and its outcry auction. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Here's a little star party.
Let's have a star party. This is Steve Kosas with the Marie Drake Planetarium. I'm going to talk about the planet Jupiter. It's the largest of all the planets in our solar system, 88,000 miles in diameter, which is 10 times the diameter of the Earth. It's also the most massive. It weighs 2.5 times more than the mass of all the other planets combined. Its year, the time it takes to orbit the sun, is 12 Earth years. Its day, its time for one rotation, is 10 Earth hours. And that rotation is rapid enough that since Jupiter is a gas giant, it doesn't have a solid surface. It's mostly composed of gases, hydrogen and helium. So its fast rotation rate causes it to bulge at the equator. So the diameter is actually greater at the equator than it is from pole to pole. And when a planet is shaped like a basketball that you sit on, where it bulges at the equator, that's called a obloid spheroid. Now, Jupiter has enough mass to attract many moons from its gravitational field. It has 94 moons, most of which are very small, but it does have four of the largest moons in the solar system, Ganymede, Callisto, Europa, and Io. And three of those moons, Ganymede, Callisto, and Europa, are surrounded, are covered by a ice surface, water ice. And below that surface are huge oceans of liquid water that's heated up by the gravitational tidal forces of Jupiter. And there's a possibility that that may be a location for life on the ice moons of Jupiter, Callisto, Europa, and Ganymede. This is Steve Kosas with the Marie Drake Planetarium. Our public shows are on our website at mariedrakeplanetarium.org. Thank you.
Listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Rotary International is a service organization founded in 1905. There are a few local chapters here in Juno, and today it's a pleasure to speak with the Juno Gastineau Rotary about their ongoing online auction and live outcry auction happening this Friday. This fundraising supports local presence in various service projects, from building wheelchair access ramps, planting flower bulbs for local community organizations, building playgrounds, and helping to provide food and supplies to children, adults, and families in need. Joining me now in studio are Liz Ballstead, President, Colleen Torrance, Foundation Chair, and Member Carla Schofield. Gunathshish yat hey adi for you all being here. How are you?
We're good. Wonderful. Pretty good.
That's good. You're in the middle of this Rotary Silent Auction, which started on the 9th. And so let's talk about that first, because we still want people to go and figure out what they could bid on silently, as well as then we'll talk about the live part of the auction. So, Colleen, why don't you give us just the details on the silent auction? Where do we find it? Where you know, the website, all that kind of stuff.
Sure. There are about 199 items currently in the silent auction, besides our outcry, so there's quite a bit going on. We have tons of different things from materialistic, like tangible items, such as like purses, you know, handbags, scarves, all those kinds of things, to experiences and services, so like someone could bid on, say, an hour of sewing, or someone could bid on a platter of cinnamon buns, that kinds of stuff, like for future. So it'll be like a promised baked good or a promised meal, all those kinds of things. The silent auction, or the registration, I should say, for the auction in general can actually be found on its own website that is created for us on the platform that we use. And the links to those can be found on our Facebook event, as well as on our homepage for the Juno Gastineau Rotary.
So the best place, the easiest place, is probably go to Facebook, just search Juno Gastineau Rotary, and then the links will all be there. Because I know some of them have long links in there because they're specific items.
Yep.
But I know you use various different websites for managing the auctions, right?
Yep. Yeah, we have definitely, I would say, an event. So if they search the events, that might be the best way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I know that that Rotary is primarily committed to being a service organization. Do I have that right, Liz?
Yes, that is the primary goal is for us to be able to help our community and help people internationally, worldwide. One of our biggest missions is to grow peace and understanding between different communities and internationally. And one of the ways that we do that is through youth exchange program. We bring international youth into our community and they attend school here, fostering understanding of different cultures. And we send our youth out to other international countries and hopefully they help foster people's understanding of Americans and American culture, and they gain understanding of the culture that they're in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I know that there's the Downtown Rotary and then Juno Gastineau Rotary, and then there's the Valley Rotary, right? Is there three Valley?
There's four.
Where's the fourth?
The fourth one is called the 58th Innovators, and they meet twice a month in the evenings. Scheduled a little differently than the other Rotaries.
Okay, I gotcha. And I know that am I right that the Juno Gastineau Rotary is sort of focused? You guys focus a lot on education, right? We're talking about the exchange students, but then also in terms of just what you do locally.
Say youth in general.
Yeah, youth in general.
Youth in general.
Okay.
Youth and making sure that the kids have enough food so that they're able to actually gain a better education. That's one of the ways that the community has stated is really an important way for children to be able to absorb. If you're hungry, you're more focused on what your stomach is in need of. Whereas if you've already been fed, it's one of the hierarchies in the pyramid. You need to be fed to be able to move on to the next thing. So to be able to absorb education, being fed is really important.
Mm-hmm. Now, some people have heard of Rotary before, but they don't really know what's involved with it or how to get involved with it. And how do you get involved in Rotary and why would you want to?
We're a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, we are a lot of fun. Yeah, find any Rotarian, but I'm going to let Carla take this one.
Oh, yes. You just need to find any Rotarian and tell them you're interested, and we will take care of the rest. And there are four clubs, so I think one of those clubs will fit the person who wants to come and help, because we do a lot of service projects, and that's probably one of the fun things about Rotary. So
the other thing you might do too, maybe if you can observe them, are the signs in the places that we meet. You might see them hanging up. So like ours is at TK McGuire's, and one of the other clubs also meets there. So you'll notice that there's a Rotary sign up, and you can always just jump into a meeting as a guest. You don't have to be necessarily sponsored to come, but yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. So you could actually just show up yourself and be like, I'm interested. Because I know in sometimes it's a member will bring somebody who's maybe interested because like you meet them out in the community and the conversation comes up.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, come with me. Mm-hmm. Your Rotary, does it still meet?
In the morning.
7 a.m.
At that early, early time in the morning.
It's not that early, Boston.
For some of us, it is.
We meet at 7 a.m., which is before most people's workday starts.
Yeah.
So it's really convenient for people who are working. It doesn't interrupt their work schedule a lot of the time. Another way that people who are interested in Rotary is they can go to the website and just put in Juno Rotary. It'll bring up four clubs. You can just email email to one of the clubs, and they will connect you to one of the Rotarians and hook you up with a Rotarian who can invite you in and bring you to a meeting. So it's a little more comfortable because you'll be walking in with someone who will bring you straight through the meeting.
And the beauty of 7 a.m. meetings is that there's pancakes available usually.
There are.
There's a whole breakfast menu,
and you can have breakfast at TK McGuire's, which is nice and yummy. And then you can be involved in these auctions, but you don't have to be a member to be involved in the auctions, right? Correct. So you can go to the website now and find out about this auction. And anyone's also invited to this, what you call an outcry auction. Why is it called an outcry auction?
Well, we have live auctioneers and folks that are going to actually conduct the bidding, and you get to put your bids online. All the bidding is going to take place on a device. So anyone that wants to come should bring a phone or their tablet if they're so wanting. I want to just plug in there a little bit about the outcry, and that there's a few special things we're doing, if that's okay to move to.
Sure.
We've got a dessert dash that we're going to have. So folks are going to get together and pool monies together to kind of see what maybe desserts that they want to get, and get to choose. Those that bid or pool the highest amount of money are going to get to choose the dessert that they want. We've got 8 luscious desserts, mind you, and they're all posted on the site for the registration. We're also going to have, of course, a bunch of door prizes, and also some what we call mystery balloon prizes, where you'll purchase a balloon, there'll be a ticket inside, you'll get to pop it at some point during the night, and you'll win something of value, anywhere between $3 and $30, I think is about where we counted it at. So yeah, you're likely to gamble well on that one. So chances are good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I like that. Mm-hmm. And so the silent auction is happening now, mm-hmm. and the outcry auction is in the evening, even though the Rotary meets in the morning. And I know sometimes you've had that outcry auction in the morning.
Yes.
But now you're doing it in the evening, which probably allows more people to be there.
Yes.
And so tell us about when, where, and how we get there.
So the outcry is this Friday, November 17th. Doors open at 5 p.m. It's held at TK McGuire's, and you just show up. We'll walk you through registration if you haven't already done that. That's not a problem. Just bring your phone. Make sure to do that because you'll need to register to get on. You can browse also without putting in payment information until you're ready to bid and actually make a purchase.
Right.
So folks can check out what we have in advance and come on down. I should also mention that appetizers are going to be on us, and there'll be dinner for purchase available.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
And what kind of things will we have in the outcry auction? Can we...
Sneak preview.
Yeah, a little sneaky peek of what we got.
So we have like various dinners that we're going to be offering for auction, like Texas barbecue meal, full meal brought to you, paid for. Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. Spanish tapas dinner for like 6, I believe it is. We have various other meals being offered, but we also have a snowmobile ride. We also have some wine from a particular member's husband's wine cellar. Never mind, of course, the dessert dash, if I didn't mention that already. there's a whole bunch of things like garden baskets we have. And we also have a fly-in from Norris Glacier hike through Alaska Seaplanes. That's going to be one of our bigger ticket items that they were gracious enough to donate. Allen Marine's whale watching, various types of things like that. So, yeah.
That's so good. And yeah. I know you can get some great gifts there because, you know, you have all kinds of things that are made and that people have donated as well. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the dinners, which those are always a popular item.
And it's a multi-course meal. These dinners are not just like, oh, here's a couple of courses and you're finished. Like, it comes with the cocktails. It comes with everything. There's so much that goes on for these types of plated meals. We have brunches. Tons of things are going on with the auction that it's just a lot of fun. Never mind classes that people can even get in on, like beading classes, scarf making, all that kind of fun stuff.
Wow. And then, of course, you get to meet all these great Rotarians and potentially, you know, start doing some service yourself to the community by joining the organization as well. But that's not really the point. The point is to have a chance to raise some funds to support all of the great programming that you do, the focus on youth like we talked about and all that good stuff. So where do we follow Rotary? What's the best place for people to go? Once again, where do we go?
I would say look for that Facebook event, at least for the auction itself. Check out Juno Gastineau Rotary. Just pop it in Google and see what we've got. We have all of our information on our cover page for folks to come and hang out. Find a Rotarian. There's probably a name on that page you'll know. Articles are there to read for you immediately, and you can just connect up with a member and come on down.
And just so people know, because I don't think we mentioned this, we mentioned that you meet at 7 in the morning. but what day do you meet?
We meet on Thursdays in Boston.
Thursdays at 7 o'clock. Thursdays. So that's the other way you could do it. If somebody is interested, they could just show up for breakfast one day at TK's and observe a Rotary meeting, right? Because they're pretty fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming in today, Colleen, Liz, and Carla. And it's the Outcry Auction happening this Friday, or hop online right now for the silent auction. It's so great. Rotary does some great stuff. So Gwyneth Cheese for coming in today. We really appreciate it.
Gwyneth
Cheese. Yeah, absolutely. Up next, Tidal Echoes is an annual creative journal published by UAS. Its open period of submission is now. We'll find out more next on Juno Afternoon from KTOO.
Plenty of room now that I live alone. Last time I saw you, you were walking in the middle. Your face was sweaty and your outfit was gone. I don't mind if you spill your wine like you used to. I feel like my memories never happen. Could you remind me, take me back for a night? Was it ever real? I don't even feel like that girl.
Is Samantha Crane and the song Joey. Samantha was an artist at the Ok Rock Indigenous Music Festival back in September, and it was amazing. Her name is Samantha Crane. You're listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Ok Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Tidal Echoes is a creative journal that features art, photography, prose, and poetry from anyone who lives in Southeast Alaska. It publishes annually from UAS in the spring, and submissions for the journal are now open, but close in just a few short weeks. And here to tell us more about it is Sophia Gim.
Yes.
Yes, got it. And Welcome, Sophia.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here and just spread the word. It's always good to just reach as many people as I can about it and make sure everybody knows that our submissions are open. We're just really encouraging trying to get as many people as we can. So
yeah, because I think when people think of – they know it's published by UAS and it's Title Echo, so they think probably it may be just students who are eligible. Do you get that a lot?
We do, for sure. I think a lot of people, their understanding is – mainly this is a student made journal, which it is. We have students on our board, but we also have a full editorial staff of faculty members as well. So we're not only looking for students. We are mainly just interested in getting as much work as we can from so many different people in Southeast Alaska. This is definitely a journal focused on just diversity and making sure that we get through to any area or in this region, to be honest. So we're just really open to everything and anything.
So it's eligible for anybody who lives in Southeast Alaska. Mm-hmm. Okay. So how do we submit?
So we have a very handy website. It is called Submittable. And if you basically, you can reach it in a couple different ways, but the URL for that is just at submittable at, oh, sorry, let me shut the link over. So it's bit.ly/submit_title_echoes.
Oh, great. Okay.
Hopefully that is, hopefully that made sense over air. But we also have a website. If you just search up Title Echoes, it will come up with our UAS page and it'll take you directly to our old issue from 2023. And it will also take you to our submittable website. And on that website, we have so much more information with all of our submission guidelines and everything you need to know is on that website. So that's a really handy resource we have out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So in the bit.ly/submit_title_echoes,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
So yeah, and we can link that on the mm-hmm. Juno Afternoon page for this episode as well. But the best way to do it is just search UAS Title Echoes
that's
and it'll
definitely
come up.
The easiest. Yeah.
Yeah. Googling these days is so easy,
it's very,
right?
Very
it's
fast.
Easy. You don't have to remember a specific website.
Yeah.
It'll take you right to the page. And you're looking for all kinds of things. So it's like artwork, photography, prose, or poetry, and it's just a combination.
Yeah.
And it can is there any particular theme to an issue that people need to have in mind, or is it just if they have work and they want it to be published, they should submit?
We are definitely all about just giving people the opportunity to have published work. So we never have like a theme or anything that anybody needs to be in a boundary of. We are just totally open to anybody who's creative and working on anything. I guarantee it will apply to our guidelines. So if you're a creative person and you've been working on some things, you should definitely check out our website and see. I guarantee some of your pieces will line up and you can submit all kinds of things.
I love that. Creative freedom, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. I love that. Because if you're just creative and you're creating stuff and you want to get it published, this is the place to do that. And so, Sophia, what are you still in school?
I am in school, yes.
Okay. And what are you studying?
I am an English major. I have an emphasis in creative writing. This is my second year. I'm hoping to do some kind of screenwriting or film stuff in the future. So I came here for just the focus on creative writing. And so far, I've had an absolutely amazing experience, especially having Title Echoes as an opportunity.
Absolutely. And came here. Where
amazing.
Did you come from?
I'm from Wasilla. I'm from Alaska. But
came down southeast from up south central way. I gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's great. So and you're a creative writing major.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. And are you on the staff, as they would as it would be called for the Title Echoes?
Yes, my official title is a fall intern, so I'm kind of in charge of our social media at the moment. We have an Instagram page, and that is just at uas.titleechoes, and I'm posting on there. I'm kind of just in charge of outreach and making sure I'm getting in touch with residents of Southeast Alaska and just getting the word out.
So getting on Juno Afternoon to get the word out to folks about it. That's so great. So you had a Sam. You have the current issue,
I
right?
Do, they, yes.
These, the plan is people need to submit by December 1st, right?
Yes.
For their pieces. And then the book comes out in like about April.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Usually. So we always release it in the spring. We also have a really amazing launch event, usually early April. And everyone is welcome. And we'll display work up on a big board display. And we'll have it just cycling through slides of artwork and all kinds of good stuff. And then our featured artist and featured writer will be speaking there as well. And I just want to quickly say our featured writer is Misty St. Clair, and our featured artist is Elise Tomlinson. We have two amazing people in this edition this year, so super exciting.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And now for this, you're going to read me something that is not your work, because in this issue, your work is the artwork.
Yes, yeah. Okay. I submitted artwork last year, but I would love to read a piece.
Yes, please.
So this is from the 2023 edition. This is by a writer named Margot Waring. She's from Juneau, and this is entitled How to Handle the Climate Crisis. Make a list of what is disappearing: puffins and ice caves, bees and butterflies, glaciers and stable weather patterns. Put the list in a jar. Seal it. Bury the jar in a place dear to your heart. Never visit it. Make a list of what is newly appearing: floating ice shelves, massive wildfires, 1,000-year floods. Read the list every day until it becomes commonplace. Do not cry. There's a great sample.
I love it. That's great. And so if you have any work that you've been working on, whether it be artwork, photography, prose, poetry, and you would like to be in the issue of Tidal Echoes coming out in April, you need to get the submissions in by December 1st. And Sophia has given the website a couple of different times. The best way to do it is UAS Tidal Echoes. Google that and go to that page, and there'll be a link there where you can submit your work online. If somebody needs to ask more information or call with questions, is there a place they can call?
Yes. So unfortunately, we just have email at the moment.
Okay.
But our email is uas.tidalechoes@alaska.edu. So you'll be chatting with me. So any questions you have, you can just let me know and I will be in touch.
Awesome. Well, Sophia, it's so great to have you in to tell
Thank
us all
so
about
much.
This. And make sure to ping us when the big event party is happening in April. We'll have you
sure.
back on. I'd love to hear about who got selected and, you know, and you know, we want to talk about that party and get everybody out to support that. So again, thank you so much for coming in. Chish hat yi gudi. That was Sophia Gim. Appreciate it so much. That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Have a wonderful Wednesday. On tomorrow's show, you can hear culture-rich conversations from the Black Awareness Association in this time slot. The topic is the Black Thanksgiving Experience. And the show is also now a podcast. Visit ktoo.org/podcasts for more information. Juno Afternoon airs Tuesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Ok Bay 91.7. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback, suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture Team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Thanks, and have a glorious Juno evening.